Welcome to the 16th edition of What Would You Do? NBA Offseason Edition. For this team of discussion, we'll be discussing the San Antonio Spurs. What a season the Spurs had last season. The streak has ended. The San Antonio Spurs made the playoffs for 22 consecutive years, from about 1998 to 2020, where they missed the playoffs. They were in the bubble and they fell short of the eighth seed, which ended one of the longest active playoff streaks in sports history and in NBA history. I mean, they were consistently in the playoffs year in, year out, with pretty much the big four, Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili. So my bad, not four, pretty much the big core three were there for a long time. And now that they're gone, you know, new era in San Antonio, and they missed the playoffs for the first time since 1997. And it was an interesting offseason for the San Antonio Spurs. Not really a lot of moves made. They pretty much kept DeMar DeRozan, kept DeMarcus Aldridge, their main duo that they've had for almost 2 years now. So we'll see how the Spurs fare up this upcoming season. With that in mind, let's discuss their free agent signings that they've had. The San Antonio Spurs, they were not really active in the free agent market. They pretty much added two players, Kieta Bates-Diop from Denver and Cameron Reynolds, free agent from Milwaukee. Caleb, with the acquisitions that the San Antonio Spurs have made this offseason, what are your thoughts on them? Did the Spurs, in a way, make a right decision on not being as active in free agency, or should they have blown the team up, make a lot more moves?
No, I think that they made the right decision to not be as active. They're giving this squad pretty much a last run at it. I think DeMar DeRozan is on an expiring contract. So you could expect him to see him going next year. This offseason, we heard some trade speculation about him possibly going to the Lakers. That would actually be pretty cool. And now that we watch the Lakers, I think we have the pieces to go get him. Do we want to get him? No, I just think that brings another big name to our team for no reason. But I do think we have pieces to make something like that happen. Maybe even a Bradley Beal type of thing happen too. But that's just for another episode. I think that, you know, the Spurs are simply heading in the direction of a rebuild after this year. Hopefully we'll see DeRozan in a new place and Aldridge, because those guys are two talented dudes, but I just don't see them going too far. And I think free agency was a pure reflection of that. How do you feel? Do you think they could have made more moves? I don't even think they could have made more moves.
I agree with you as well. I don't think they could have made a lot of moves. I kind of thought the Spurs were going to go in more of a rebuild direction. I mean, the streak ended. That's when you kind of know, like, all right, you know, let's blow it up. Because if we're being honest, the Spurs the last couple of years, they just pretty much try to keep the streak going. Once Tim Duncan retired, once Manu retired, and they were kind of on the last legs of Tony Parker, they were just kind of trying to keep the playoff streak alive. And when that ended this past season, I thought the Spurs were gonna be like, all right, our time has come. Now it's time to bring in a new regime, new rebuild. Let's just start from scratch. Because from a team's perspective, your goal is to try to win a championship. And if you know you're not going to win a championship and you have an aging core, you might as well just strip it down and rebuild for the next, you know, couple of years. And in those next couple of years, then when your young talent starts to become great, then you can compete for championships again as the other teams starting to go to rebuild. That's what I personally thought the San Antonio Spurs were going to do. You know, I mean, you look at 22 years straight of making the playoffs. It's a very impressive feat. I mean, with all through the salary cap era, I mean, to make the playoffs for 22 straight years, you got to draft well, you got to sign good players, and you got to develop the players. And the San Antonio Spurs have done that to perfection. And, you know, I think that just shows a reflection of all streaks will come to an end. I mean, you know, making the playoffs 22 years is hard. You know,
even yeah, it is.
Like I mentioned before, like the salary cap era. And in a market that not a lot of people really see, a lot of people don't really see San Antonio, Texas as like a destination. A lot of people look at the bright lights in SoCal, Los Angeles. They look at the big city in New York, want to go to the Knicks or the Nets. Heck, even people look at Chicago as a good destination because of what the Bulls had in the 90s. They want to try to replicate that. The Spurs are kind of a destination where they not a lot of free agents go in there, but they sure damn well know how to draft and develop. I mean, look at what Tim Duncan became. He became, in my opinion, being, if not one of the greatest power forwards of all time with the San Antonio Spurs, and stuck it out there for 19 years. Same with Tony Parker, spent most of his career with the Spurs. Same with Manu Ginobili, spent his entire career with the Spurs. They know how to draft and develop well.
Yeah, I mean, they know how to really get good cornerstones. You know, Tim Duncan was a great cornerstone. And I think that's what they're looking for. That's what's next for them, you know, with the draft. Who did they draft this year? Lead right into
that. Yeah, but before we get into draft, even a cornerstone in Kawhi Leonard, before Kawhi Leonard wanted out of San Antonio, he was supposed to be that next corner piece to fill in for whenever Tim Duncan retires. And he did fulfill that. You know, he was there for 6 or 7 years. It was just time ran its course and Kawhi won it out. And, you know, he got what he wished for. And to go into the draft. And
What's even more interesting, I'm sorry, but we talk about Kawhi. And this relates to San Antonio. You got to think about this. They almost had their cornerstone of the franchise in Kawhi off of a trade. Kawhi should have been in Indiana to begin with Paul George begin with. And now they end up on the Clippers. Kind of crazy how it comes full circle, but it happens, you know?
Yep, that's the NBA for you. Some things that are meant to happen will eventually happen just in the next couple of years when they build up their resume, when Kawhi decides to win 2 championships, 2 finals MVPs, and Paul George adds on a couple All-Stars to his resume, and then they build up with the Clippers, and as we all know to become second fiddle to our LA Lakers, because they know their place. They know that they're the little brothers compared to us, and that's a fact.
Facts.
And that's a fact. Now, let's move into who the San Antonio Spurs drafted. With the 11th pick in the NBA draft, the San Antonio Spurs selected Devin Vassell. He is, as my phone decides to load, he is out of Florida State, small forward. What are your thoughts on the Spurs making that selection of Devin Vassell out of Florida State?
Yeah, man. Shout out Nick Andre. Me and my boy Nick Andre wrote an article on him. Go check that out on Medium, you know. But honestly, he's great. You know, he's going to be a good talent for them. I compared him to DeMar DeRozan, honestly. And him having DeRozan as his mentor, I think he'll be something similar to him if he can get a bucket, which he can. He can get a bucket from the mid-range. His 3-point percentage is actually very good. He can play defense, and he's long. So he does everything well. He has good mentors around him. And he has a good coach that's going to put him in the right position and coach him up very well. So I think he's somebody that people should be looking for, because that backcourt could be lethal with him and DeJounte Murray. Those are both two long guards that could play defense, score, assist the ball, and still shoot the three-point ball pretty well. So, yeah, I think he should be solid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you as well. I think this is a good selection by the Spurs. I mean, I mentioned earlier, the Spurs know how to draft well. I think this guy Devin Vassell could be their next corner piece. I mean, you look at DeMar DeRozan. I think he's got a year left on his contract, and like you mentioned, Devin Vassell could be DeMar DeRozan could mentor Devin Vassell to be that next guy, and I think he could fulfill that. I think, you know, we'll see him come off the bench a lot, you know, fill in for DeMar DeRozan whenever he gets hurt or, you know, whenever he gets into foul trouble. And, you know, even when he went to Florida State, you know, he put up some solid numbers. It wasn't too bad, you know, averaging almost 13 points a game, 5 rebounds. I think those stats aren't too bad. If he can find a way to put up, you know, almost those kind of numbers coming off the bench, I think he'll be a great player. You know, I definitely think the Spurs, it was interesting at first, but you make a lot of great points. And I think Devin Vassell could be the next cornerstone piece for the San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah, I don't know about cornerstone, but I think he could be a solid piece that they start with. I think the cornerstone guy is gonna come from a number one, number two, three pick, because I think, you know, 2023 draft, 2024, that's when you could expect them to be heavy, high in the lottery. I'm talking 1 through 5, in my opinion.
Definitely an interesting case. Like, could you imagine if at that time LeBron James' son gets drafted by the San Antonio Spurs?
That would be cool. I mean, if you think about it, if I'm a team in that in LeBron James' draft, his son is, depending where he's at, he is almost like a number one pick type. He's almost a lottery pick because, I mean, if I'm a lottery team, I know, like, okay, I'm going to get his son, but I'm also going to get Bron.
Hey, could you imagine if our Lakers pull the biggest power move? Hey, LeBron, you want to stay another year? I'm going to get your son on this squad.
I mean,
that just the
we're trying to win chips, you know. So hopefully, Bronny, he could fall to us. Maybe we can make a couple trades to make that happen in LA. I know that would sell a lot of tickets.
Oh yeah,
we'll probably be off of COVID by then. Hopefully sooner. But I mean, that would be super cool. And I think, you know, I don't doubt Rob Pelinka. If he wants to make it happen, he can make it happen. But I think. You could expect, like, I don't know, man. It would be dope to see him go back to Cleveland with his son.
Yeah, it definitely would be dope to see that happen. Let's discuss the San Antonio Spurs' other draft pick that they made. In the second round with the 41st pick of the NBA draft, the San Antonio Spurs selected Trey Jones, point guard out of Duke. You hear Trey Jones getting drafted by the Spurs. What are your first initial thoughts, Caleb, of the Spurs making that draft decision?
Another solid pick. I think he's got the right development around him with Pop. Pop's gonna make him effective. He plays similar to his brother, and his brother does everything fairly well. Shoot the three, play defense, brings energy, playmate. So he's really similar to his brother, but with a good coach around him, there's no question that he won't be effective. He will for sure be effective when he's in the game. So I think that was a solid pick. I don't know how much time he gets, though.
Yeah, that's why I kind of go at the route of it was an interesting pick. Mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting the Spurs went with the point guard, even though the guards that they already have, DeJounte Murray, Devin White, I thought they would keep those guys and give them a chance, but them getting Trey Jones in the second round, I think that shows that Spurs are going to choose one or the other. I mean, obviously, DeJounte Murray, I believe he got an extension, whether it was last year or 2 years ago. But this might be the time where they might tell Derek White, hey, White, prove it. Prove that your 2019 playoff run when you went up against Denver and put Paul Millsap on a poster wasn't just a fluke. Prove to us that you can continue your sustained success throughout the season, because you got a guy in Trey Jones who could do exactly the same thing as you can do. So me personally, that's why I kind of going at the format of it was interesting. I mean, I thought maybe they could have went with the center, but You know, like you mentioned earlier, Caleb, and even in previous episodes, if the best guy available is there, you have to take him. I think it's a situation to where Trey Jones was probably the best guy available with the 41st pick, and they went up and selected him. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Trey Jones. Obviously, last time we saw him from Duke, it was with Zion and RJ Barrett, and he did very well. A lot of people thought he could have went to the draft that year, but he decided to stay another year, further develop his talent, and now, you know, he's in the NBA, and he's going to go to a well-run franchise. The Spurs are a well-run franchise.
Exactly.
Making the playoffs for 22 consecutive years, Trey Jones is going to be in a perfect position to succeed well with the Spurs themselves. And while we discuss the Spurs, let's kind of see how they will do this upcoming season to close out this edition of What Would You Do? NBA Offseason Edition. Let's discuss if the Spurs can start up a new playoff streak, or will the drought be added on another year? I direct that question to you, Caleb. Can the Spurs make the playoffs this upcoming season, or will the drought add on another year to 2 years?
We're in a drought, my boy. We're in a drought with a lot of uncertainty revolving this year because of situations like COVID. We see that as an example earlier in the preseason with us not being able to see Wiseman and Draymond Green. They should be playing soon, but we haven't been able to see them due to COVID. So with things like that and a lot of uncertainty, you can't see them in the eighth or the seventh seed. No doubt about it. They were fighting for that last season with their team not changing, only getting a little stronger with Vessel and healthy LaMarcus Aldridge. I'm sure you can see him fighting, but I don't see him in there this year just because the West is so deep and it's getting a lot younger. So it's a drought. It's a drought for me. I might have to call it.
Yeah, I agree with you as well. I think the Spurs will miss the playoffs for the second consecutive year, but I do believe they'll keep it competitive. Greg Popovich will keep his guys competing. It kind of reminds me of what the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick are doing. They probably won't make the playoffs, but you bet your ass they're going to be competing week in and week out. And I think that's what the San Antonio Spurs are going to do. They're going to take this 72-game season that's upcoming in 6 days in December 22nd, and they're going to simply say, look, a lot of people are going to be doubting us, and let's try and prove them wrong. You know, if we make the playoffs, fantastic. That just shows that Greg Popovich is a great coach and the young guys developed well. And if they don't make it, then you just simply see who was the best, you know, from that group. And, you know, you move on. But, you know, this is kind of new territory for the Spurs. Yeah. Normally the Spurs are a team where they're early in the 2000s, they were competing for championships with Tim Duncan and the whole core. But as the core kind of aged off, you know, that's when you kind of got a sense like, all right, you know, they'll make the playoffs. They'll be playoff contenders, but they probably won't win the championship. And now they kind of went into a whole cycle. They start up above with championships, cascaded down a little bit to playoff contenders. And now they're kind of near the bottom now to where, all right, playoffs, missed the playoffs, rebuild. One of the days they'll go back up the curve. Cause you know, that's almost what, almost every NBA team has that kind of trajectory to where they, I mean, even look at our Lakers. We were competing for championships from the 2000s. And then when the 2010s hit, we were playoff contenders. 2013, rebuild. And then LeBron and Anthony Davis come around, and now we're back up on the championship projection. So yeah. The Spurs are going to be one of those teams. They'll be back in championship contention. Maybe not this upcoming season or next year, but in the next 3 to 5 years, you best believe the San Antonio Spurs will be back. This will just be a slight wrinkle in their fantastic franchise.
You could bet that for sure. Definitely. I can see them coming right back up soon. They're an organization that has structure. It has a formula for success. They just put that back into work again, and they'll be fine. So I expect them to be fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and with that, that will conclude this edition of What Would You Do? NBA Offseason Edition featuring the San Antonio Spurs. And Caleb, where can the listeners of this podcast find you and your fantastic work?
Man, you can find me on Twitter at Caleb Koenig 2. You can find me on Instagram at 1 Caleb Koenig. You can find the link tree below. Find anything else there. Got my Medium writings. Got my podcast. You got Change the Narrative wristbands. Go ahead on my Instagram to Change the Narrative. Hit the website and copy your wristband. You feel me? Copy your Change the Narrative wristband. Just change the narrative, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely change the narrative. You could check out my Twitter at @Matt_Skura. My Instagram is at @Matt_Skura19. And make sure you guys who are listening to this, check out some more of our episodes. Caleb and I have been putting in the grind. We've uploaded previous episodes of What Would You Do? NBA Offseason Edition, discussing other teams throughout the NBA. So make sure you guys check that out, whether you are watching it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, you name it. We're available everywhere. So we appreciate you guys listening and tuning into this episode. This is Matt Skura, my great friend Caleb Connett. We are signing off.